You're listening to Sipping on Some Crime podcast, hosted by Aaron. This podcast covers sensitive and triggering subjects, explicit language, and mature content which may not be suitable for children. As always, all parties are innocent until proven guilty.
Today, I will be covering the case of Crystal Ahrensdorf. Crystal was just 20 and starting to discover what life had to offer her when she suddenly vanished in the early hours of July 4th, 2001. What happened that night? How did she just disappear without anyone seeing something? Anything? 20 years later, her family is still asking these questions and desperate to understand what happened that night to Crystal. Crystal Ahrensdorf, a strawberry blonde with brown eyes, was born February 1st, 1981. She was the baby of the family. She had five full and half siblings. Her family moved around a lot, but Crystal mostly grew up in Dubuque, Iowa. When Crystal was little, she never liked her mother out of her sight. Her mother, Barb Beam, said that she was very shy when she was younger, but she was also a clown. She really loved to be around her family and enjoyed spending time with Grandpa. Barb says as Crystal got older, she really started to break out of that shyness and become quite a vibrant person. Crystal's childhood friend Dawn reminisces about the time that they were little and ran a lemonade stand together, and as kids, how they spent hours riding bikes. Dawn said Crystal was a kind person. Dawn said, quote, "Even if you did something that could be upsetting, she never really said bad things about people. She just generally was a kind person. She loved kids, genuinely just sweet, beautiful. Her smile was infectious, and we would just lay there and laugh for hours." Unquote. Dawn and Crystal were inseparable as kids. They really did everything together. Crystal babysat for Nicole Torbel, who lived close to Crystal's family in Dubuque. Their families became quite close and even vacationed together. Nicole said that she wanted to be just like Crystal. Nicole said, quote, "I just wanted to be a nice person like she was, and just fun and outgoing. And I wanted her to be proud of me, to know that I took her advice always that she gave me." Unquote. Crystal's sister, Sean Rund, describes her as a kind-hearted person, quote, "She's kind of quiet when you first meet her, but once you get to know her, she's actually just really down to earth, a genuinely nice person. She was always concerned about other people's feelings and always tried to go out of her way to help people out." Unquote. Crystal's sister Jennifer said that Crystal was just fun. She loved going out to eat, to the movies, comedy shows, really anything to do with having fun. She enjoyed laying out in the sun when she could and being around her friends and her family as much as possible. Jennifer was recovering from a battle with addiction when Crystal disappeared, and Jennifer said Crystal was helping her through it. In fact, it was the closest the two had ever been. Crystal's brother Michael said that when Crystal disappeared, they were just starting to reconnect. He said that Crystal was beautiful inside and out, and he wants her remembered as more than just someone who went missing. He said she was just getting started with her life when she vanished. So how does this vibrant, beautiful girl just vanish? Let's dive in. July 3rd, 2001, Crystal and her sister decided to go watch fireworks at a friend's house. After the fireworks, Crystal and Jennifer head out to go pick up Crystal's boyfriend, Tim. Tim's truck brakes were getting worked on, so he would need a ride home after his shift, and they agreed that Crystal would pick him up from work later that night. As Jennifer and Crystal were heading out, Crystal called Tim to let him know that they were on their way, and at some point, for some reason, they ended up getting in an argument on the phone. And Tim said he would just walk home that night, and for Crystal not to come get him. Crystal decided that she wasn't done with the night, and her brother Michael's fiancée, Lori, was going out for the night to a local bar called Knicker's Saloon, so Crystal decided to join them. They would meet up with a few friendly faces, some of them Crystal's mother Barb's co-workers, and enjoyed the night drinking and hanging out. Crystal left her car with her sister Jennifer that night because she didn't want to drink and drive. Jennifer remembers Crystal looking at her with these big, beautiful smile and her long lashes, telling her she could use her car anytime. Jennifer says that was a big deal because Crystal's car was her baby. It was the first thing that was hers, that she owned, that wasn't passed down to her. Jennifer says she should have gone with her that night. She still lets the weight of that decision affect her every day. Crystal would hang out at the bar even after Lori decided to head home, and her friends started to slowly leave throughout the night as well. We know Crystal was drinking and being served by the bartender Robert Moots. At some point, Crystal and Robert had made arrangements to go to another bar in East Dubuque together. Robert and Crystal decided that once Robert's shift was over, they would take a cab together and head to East Dubuque. The bars in East Dubuque are across the state line in Illinois, and they close an hour and a half later than the bars in Iowa. So people will usually just grab a cab and head over to the bars in East Dubuque when they want to keep partying or drinking. Crystal's friends knew that she wanted to keep going that night, and she had arranged a ride, so they left Crystal with Robert and headed home. Just shortly after 2 a.m., Crystal called her boyfriend Tim. He didn't answer, but he noticed the missed call about 10 minutes later and called her back. When he called her back, Crystal didn't answer, so he called the bar, and Robert picked up the phone, saying he was cleaning up and closing the bar, but he couldn't find Crystal anywhere around. He said she must have left. Crystal's purse and keys would be found later at the bar, but Crystal was nowhere in sight. The next morning, Jennifer would receive a call from Crystal's boyfriend asking if she knew where Crystal was. Jennifer said that she had not returned to her house and that she had Crystal's car. Jennifer knew right away something was wrong. Crystal also hadn't shown up for work, and that was very out of character for her as well. Jennifer said right away they began calling friends and knocking on doors, trying everything they could, hoping they would find Crystal. After 24 hours, the family knew Crystal would never go that long without contacting family, so they called the police and reported her missing. It was Jennifer that really took the lead and pushed them to realize that this wasn't right, that something was very wrong, and they all needed to get involved in looking for Crystal. Jennifer said it was like they were just all in shock and not sure how to process it. She knew someone had to take the lead, so she jumped in. Investigators took this case serious from the start and dedicated manpower to searching for Crystal. Captain Scott Engelman was one of the officers involved in the investigation, and he said pretty much every officer assigned to that case for weeks, nonstop. Captain Engelman said, quote, "We didn't have some of the technology that we do now, the traffic cameras and stuff like that. So we had weekly, if not daily, meetings, strategizing and developing leads and following up on leads. Each day, additional leads were added throughout those first several weeks," unquote. Investigators knew right away in their gut that Crystal didn't leave on her own. Something happened, and that created a sense of urgency to find her as quickly as possible. While investigators worked searching for Crystal, interviewing witnesses, and trying to retrace Crystal's steps that night, Jennifer started hitting the streets, still knocking on doors and hanging up flyers with Crystal's face and information, in hopes someone, anyone, would come forward with information. Jennifer made it her mission to keep going till she found her. Jennifer went door to door speaking with locals, and some remember seeing Crystal that night at Knicker's, but they never remember her leaving the bar. No one ever saw her leaving that bar. That was every story from that night. Everyone saw her, but nobody saw her leave. That's their dead end right there. Investigators were running into the same thing over and over. The only constant in every interview that never changed throughout the years is that no one saw Crystal leave the bar that night.
But Kevin Klein used to keep, and probably still has, a photo of her.
Kevin
he used
Klein.
To have one on his desk. Yeah, he's retired now, I believe.
No, he's a really nice detective.
He lived that, this case, lived it. And I worked very, very closely with him in the beginning. And then as the years went by, the first 2 weeks, I don't think I left his office. Unless I was knocking on somebody's door.
Yeah.
Because I literally went to, do you know who was here? And then I went, found out where they live and went to the house. Mm-hmm. So, did you remember seeing this girl? I said, well, yeah, I remember seeing her, but I don't remember her leaving.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
On every, that's how it ended with every story.
Every story. Nobody saw her leave.
Every single one.
Investigators looked into every tip, every lead, which there were many of. Rumors of drugs and bad drug deals began to swirl around the case, and that was something investigators did have to look into and chase down. Jennifer said she didn't think her sister would be in that world or allow herself to fall into that world after Crystal watched her own sister lose everything to drugs. Crystal watched Jennifer struggle with addiction and what it took for her to get clean. Jennifer said it's not impossible, but she just can't see that having anything to do with her disappearance.
Okay, and obviously, you know, since the whole thing, a lot of rumors got started, and there was that whole, all the whole Mac thing and all that, you know. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, would you think she would have ever done anything like that?
At one time, I would have said absolutely not, because that's what my hard time was. I'm a recovering drug addict, and that's what she was helping me through. I had just quit like 8 months before that. Mm-hmm. And she was so against it in so many ways that I find it really hard that she would have tried it, you know, just because she knew the struggles
right.
that I was going through at the time.
So obviously it's not something that she would have done, like, just right. knowing your sister
right.
well enough to know.
Right, she watched my whole life go down the tubes, you know, so I really don't think she would have wanted that for herself, so to try it, mm-hmm. you know, I don't see it.
12 days after Crystal's disappearance, a witness would call investigators saying they spotted a body floating in Leisure Lake in Jackson County. The sighting turned out to be a false alarm, and there was no evidence found at the scene. Investigators looked closer into Crystal's boyfriend, Tim. And after 3 months in October, they did clear him, saying they don't believe he had anything to do with Crystal's disappearance. There wouldn't be any promising leads until 2002 when investigators discovered that two brothers, Stephen and David Peacock, were also at the bar with Crystal that night she disappeared. Both brothers were visiting from Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, but both were originally from Dubuque. What put them on investigators' radar? I don't know, but they were brought in for question and given polygraphs in April 2002. The results of the polygraphs have never been released. Police would seize and search David's car, but no evidence was found. There's some information out there about David Peacock. It seems he has quite the record. But what sticks out the most is in 2005, he was arrested and charged with 1 count of false imprisonment and 3 counts of battery against his girlfriend of only 6 weeks. Allegedly, David had seen his girlfriend talking with another man in a car when he began assaulting both of them and threatened to kill his then-girlfriend. In 2015, investigators would receive a tip that David was not driving his car on July 4, 2001, but instead had borrowed his sister's pickup truck. As to whether or not that lead was followed up on, there's no information to clarify if it was. As it stands now, Crystal's case is still open with no official suspects' names or persons of interest. Crystal's family doesn't believe that this is due to a lack of investigators' work on her case. They know that Crystal's case mattered to every investigator that came onto her case. They are excited that a new fresh set of eyes will be taking over the case, as they are hoping just maybe they'll see something that they have been missing. Crystal's family and investigators know solving this case comes down to those that were there that night or know what happened that night to come forward. Her siblings still wonder who she would be today. Jennifer says they've all changed so much over the years and wonder if Crystal was still with them, what she would be like today. Michael talks about how much Crystal loved children, and he looks at his own kids all grown up with their own kids and says that she would have been happy to have all these little kids in her life and to watch them grow. Crystal's sister Melissa started a scrapbook when Crystal went missing, detailing every part of the search for her. She filled it with constant updates and news clippings, with plans to give it to Crystal one day to show her that they never stopped searching. Crystal's family say they feel after 20 years that something dark happened to Crystal that day. And now they just want answers. They just want justice for her. Jennifer still looks for her face in strangers on the street, and when she hears the name Crystal, it just hits really hard. Her mother, Barb, says that she didn't vanish on her own, and those responsible are still out there and could do it again. They will keep searching for answers. They will stay involved in her case, and they will never give up. At the time of her disappearance, Crystal was 20 years old, 5'6", and 115 pounds. She is a Caucasian female with blonde hair and brown eyes and was wearing blue tinted soft lenses at the time of her disappearance. She was wearing a white polo shirt, tan shorts, black sandals, a gold chain necklace with an opal pendant, and an opal ring and a toe ring. She has a mole near her navel. If you have any information about Crystal Arendorf's disappearance, please contact investigator Dave Randall at 563-589-4429. Investigator Nick Schlossler at 563-587-3813. Or Lieutenant Scott Baxter at 563-589-4410. Investigators are not giving up on this case. They say time doesn't stop their investigation.
Across the river in East Dubuque. However, authorities say no one actually saw her leave the bar. Authorities are asking people, even 20 years after, to not lose hope.
Time doesn't stop an investigation, right? So just because there is a time gap there doesn't mean that it's not going to be solved. It may, you know, make some more hurdles for us to get through, but this is still a solvable case. We believe that.
And Lieutenant McClyman says they've brought in other agencies to help out in this case, and that includes the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigation. You know, Lieutenant McClyman says no tip is too small, and he encourages anyone who has any sort of information to call 563-690-6400. Live in Dubuque, Fernando Garcia, Francis Cheney, KCRG, TV9 News.
20 years is way too long to wait for justice. There were people in that bar with Crystal that could have answers as to what happened to Crystal that night. If you know something, it's time to come forward. Please share Crystal's story in any format you feel comfortable. In the show notes, I will include sources and also links for those interested in taking a deeper look into Crystal's case. There are pages and pages you can find on Crystal's case, and the rumors that surround her case I didn't include because I believe they can distract from fact. And fact is what will bring Crystal home. If you would like to take a deeper dive into those theories and those rumors, you will easily find those links in your search. Thank you for listening to another mini episode today. I'm working on getting these cases with limited information out there because they deserve to be told. I appreciate you listening to their stories, and I hope it brings some awareness to these cases that deserve light shone on them. Remember when you see those missing and murdered posts on social media to hit share, like, and retweet. The more we share a face, the closer we get to solving a case. Until next time.